The Survivor Specialist, Phil and Blake, are back, and today we are digging deeper into episode number 8 of Survivor 50, and we are joined by Karishma Patel, a.k.a. Tired Mommy. She just got home. She rushed on in. She's here. She made it. She was eating dill dip, and Blake was very excited about that, so here we are. Karishma, how you doing?
I'm good. How are y'all? Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm so excited to talk about this episode, especially with y'all.
We are ready to go. I mean, Blake has been looking forward to the Karishma episode for like 4 months now. He's been so excited. You were like one of the first people. I know we didn't end up booking this till mid-April, but you were one of the first people I reached out to for the season being like, so how around are you? And I told Blake, I was like, we have a date with Karishma. He was like, great. I don't care anymore then. We're good.
I'm so happy it worked out. I'm so happy. I had it penciled in, so it worked out really well.
Here we are. So
and then we had double the fun, double the stakes, double the death, double the drama. So there's only one person we could have go double time. So I'm glad it's you.
Hey.
We had great double.
Episode. Great we episode.
Double recaps last night too, because Will missed his alarm. And by Will missed his alarm, he just wasn't able to start it on time. So I went live first, and then Will and Tegwith went live next. So this is our third episode about this episode, or about this episode. I don't know why I said episode too much, but we're here digging deeper. Karishma, give us your overall thoughts before I open this up to Blake so he can just talk how much he liked this twist. But give us your overall thoughts on everything that you've seen so far.
So overall, I'm really digging this season as a whole. I know there's been ups and downs. A lot of people have really strong opinions about the twists and about special guests and celebrities and all that fun stuff. But that's what the essence of Survivor is going to be moving forward. So my opinion is that if you are a Survivor fan, you take the package as it is and you enjoy the ride. And I am certainly enjoying the ride. I am so particularly glad to be here for today's episode because it was my favorite episode so far. Yeah, for right. sure.
Blake,
as you were saying that, I just came up with an analogy in my head. I'm in Survivor mode already, but it's like there's certain boxes of cereal that you buy all the time because you like the food, and then there's some that have special prizes, and maybe this is the time where I love Survivor so much that's a cereal I buy every time, but the prizes in the bottom of this one isn't good for a couple of these weeks, and you're like, oh, maybe I'll try some other cereal, but I love Frosted Flakes so much, even though they're putting like big bag Beetle Zords in my prize pack. Like, I guess I'll come back to it. Like, I get what you're saying of Mr. Beast is on the horizon. Jimmy Fallon is on the horizon. But this is a eye of the storm in between all those episodes where it was the most unique. This is the first time we're writing two names down on a parchment. That was so visually different. I think it was kind of like whenever we said it and they started looking around and like, there's only six possible ways to vote. And we're going to take one away with an immunity. I thought that was very much an oh crap moment that we don't see oh crap moments where everybody craps their pants at the same time much anymore on Survivor. And it was interesting to see who could play well through it and who was like, I am legitimately a sitting duck in this hammock and I don't know how much of a duck I am.
A sitting duck with a muzzle on. Let's be real.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. This twist, I'm shocked at the response it's gotten from the internet, because when we all saw this twist was coming, I know I was down on it. I know a lot of other people were down on it. I know that there was a lot of concern, especially with the Blood Moon not too far away, which people keep saying, why do you keep bringing up the Blood Moon? I can't talk. Why do you keep bringing up the Blood Moon? I'm like, because it sucked. And I want to keep harping on how bad it sucked because I want Survivor to never do it again. It sucked. It sucked. It sucked. Mm-hmm. And I think it did have a lot of people losing faith in production overall coming into this episode where we see, okay, they're going to be dividing up into pairs. We don't know exactly what this means, but will we be able to like this? Like, will they find a way to make it the worst possible version or the best possible version? And I think last night was the best possible version. I think they did a great job with it. And really, so far, it's nothing's unanimous, especially on the internet. But I feel like 90% of Survivor fans love what they watched last night. And that is shocking. We've been critiquing the show. I know Dalton Ross over at DW has said a lot of things this season that he hasn't been a fan of. And his recap was, this is the best version of a double boot we've had maybe ever, or something like that. And everybody's into it. So I'm glad that we're all on the same page. And this should be a pretty good conversation about what is it that actually made it great.
Yeah, Yeah, I think it's really cool because, you know, moving forward now, anytime there's a twist like this, pick a partner at any point before a challenge or for any other reason, everyone's going to wonder, well, what could it be for? Could it be for a double elimination just like this? Or could it be for a head-to-head battle? You know what I mean? Or could it be for, and it implements a whole new level of strategy when it comes to picking your partner. Like you have no idea. Is it better strategy to pick somebody in your alliance? Is it better strategy to pick somebody who goes to the opposite challenge strength? And in this situation, it ended up being a better strategy to have somebody in a different alliance, right? Because the ones who are targeted seem to be targeted because they were kind of, it was kind of like getting a 2-for-1 out of one alliance. That's how I kind of saw it.
That, and what I get concerned with this twist is now though, you almost got to see exactly how it needed to play out right away. Mm-hmm. Where you, like you said, now I go, like me and Blake are aligned, Karishma, you and I aren't. So I'm trying to get on your team because I want to be valuable to your alliance. You want to be valuable to mine. Now do you get into a situation where if they try to do this again, people aren't as willing to just pick the teams. Like last night, Rizzo's looking around. Do you have a partner? Do you have a partner? Okay, I'll go with you. I don't know if people will be as willing, which then makes me worried about the potential for just drawing rocks or something stupid like that. And then that becomes way less exciting because I do think the part that made this so interesting was the dynamic of the picking and kind of putting yourself in this position. And then who could play their way out of it? Devins and Aubrey could play their way out of it. Chrissy and Coach couldn't.
I wanted to see more of the pick. I didn't, I feel like I didn't see enough of the pick. Right.
I also thought who played that well was Tiffany.
Oh yeah.
Like, hey, I'm really good at challenges. Who could I talk to that is also really good at challenges to put myself, this immunity is the most important for me. But then also Joe being the person who's probably not going to overthink it and be like, if we lose and people still want to get rid of Tiffany, would Joe have gone home last night? I don't think so, because Joe is so important to a lot of groups of people, not because they love playing with him, but because he's such a solid position thought process. And if he is going to elevate and go like, wow, that was a great moment with Tiffany, we won, we had spaghetti, we voted together, even though I said I would never vote for Coach, he votes for Coach. I think he played it, Tiffany and Joe played it well, because it's like a new avenue. And the other person who played it well, in my opinion, is Jonathan, of just going over and putting a hand on Christian and going, if it's one-on-one, I can probably beat Christian at some stuff, but if it's us against the world, we can probably beat everybody. It's not a bridge puzzle, apparently, is the big weakness of working together. But I think that was a super smart, like, you got to give him credit when it is time to give him credit, of like Jonathan hand, like literally like Mufasa in.
Yeah, it was really funny. It was like I choose you. Like Game of Thrones is throws it like you. It was really
funny. He had Christian had no say in who his partner was. And he even looked up, he's like, I looked back and there he is, the giant. The brochachos are back. And he liked it. Yeah. It worked out for him.
And I think it was Jonathan's strategy for sure to pick a partner.
And Christian, you were saying that you wish you saw more of the pick. Like, what was it that you felt was missing?
I have this like weird feeling that there was more to it than what we saw. I have a feeling there was some, there must've been some disagreements, because we didn't see any disagreements. We didn't see any pushback. We didn't see any, we didn't see any of that. And it seems a little bit too kumbaya for these particular players. I just don't think it's that simple. Because people are going to, you're going to fight. This is your game. Like, this is your life in the game. If you don't really want that particular partner, you're going to fight not to have them. I kind of find it hard to believe that like the pieces of the puzzle would fall right where people want it to fall. Does that make sense?
And to add on to what you're saying, I want to know if, I think we saw a little bit of it, but maybe the tail end of, did Chrissy and Coach pick, or were they left over? Because if they're left out, I kind of feel bad. If they picked, I kind of don't feel bad. And like, not that I need to feel good about every decision that happens on Survivor, but Chrissy and Coach have been in a storyline together because they've been on Tribes together so much that now that being like, we couldn't get away from each other. Or I do think they could have been advocates for each other if they weren't partners. I think that's the one where, of course, hindsight is 20/20 here, but I feels like that's the one where we can't advocate for each other if we're on the same thing. It's obvious instead of I'm putting my neck out for you.
Yeah.
Even if they were left over, though, my thing is it's still game that you were putting yourself in the position to be left over. Do you know what I mean? Like, everything you did up to this point is part of the reason why the two of you were the two that couldn't find another partner and then had to work together. And I think that that's where I'm a little bit more okay with this than if they just drew rocks, because at the end of the day, if Coach and Chrissy were left over, it is what it is. Although Guardy is saying here that according to the exit interviews, Coach and Chrissy picked each other. Okay. So maybe they did.
Okay. I mean, it seems like they were picking based on challenge prowess because of Cerie's comment. I mean, she feels inherently like a challenge liability, I suppose. And so when she was like, yeah, I don't want to have to deal with not being picked, it seems like that was just the general consensus that people were picking based on you know, challenge ability, and Cerie's not viewed as like one of the challenge able or able most, whatever. It's been a long day, guys.
And there's, there's like four people that tried to play around it like that too. Oh, could I be the singled one out? And I think that it was Cerie, it was Rick, it was Chrissy, and one other person who I can't remember. They were like, I think that is strong gameplay of...
Oh, raise your hand for that.
Yeah,
you put just me saw in. Ozzy and Rizzo like live out the Blood Moon. You raise your hand for Exile.
Right. Even Aubrey if it's too. like, oh, they get to pick the pairs and then go to Exile, I'll be like, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I do think that was the smartest. There should be 11 people, or what is it, 13 people trying to be the single one. Mm-hmm. And like, I think that will be a thing from now on. Which would be funny because when it shows up on Survivor 51, the singled out person will just get eliminated without a vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's what Survivor is going to do, because they don't want predictability. They don't want you to predict anything. So they're
somewhere.
Somewhere
Jamal is walking through the woods to grab that beware advantage that just took away everything.
And the funny thing is that we fought over it. You know that a little bit? it got a little nasty. Because I'm like, he stole it from me. But no, I mean, it is what it is.
Did you thank him? Alan, your boy, super funny that next interviews today. Coach seems slightly annoyed that Dia and Rizzo talked before when Coach said he slipped a note in Colby's bag to target Rizzo.
It's not like Coach to be hypocritical. So
no,
I don't know if that's
not
true.
Part of his personality.
I got to throw up this super chat too. This one's for you, Karishma. Alan, your boy, great episode. It was amazing meeting Karishma in person at the Survivor 50 event. You're incredibly nice. Hope to see you play again.
Did he? Oh my God. I'm so sorry. I'm talking with my uncle. I remember you. So thank you for saying that.
Incredibly nice. Karishma, who did he meet? What happened? No, I'm just kidding. But Karishma's over
here.
It
was a fed Karishma.
Yeah, you guys didn't hear Karishma talking before this podcast. You know, you get the true Karishma if you saw her not out at a Survivor event. And then this last one also from Alan, your boy, I have to throw it up. I was surprised that Joe this week actually voting for Coach and Chrissy. Maybe Joe is doing better than we think. Did you guys see the theory based on the handwriting Joe did? That he wrote Chrissy's name and went to put it in, and a producer told him you have to write Coach. So he pretty much scribbled Coach's name, and you can't even, it's not even legible.
It's like COH.
Yeah.
Oh my, I'm going to go look that up right
it's
now.
Really it's funny.
Crazy.
Really funny.
Yeah. I mean, do you buy that, Karishma? You think that they told him like, no, you have to write both. And he was like, I'm just going to scribble. You guys will have to know.
I mean, I feel like he just felt like, I don't want to write his whole name so that I can like actually say I didn't write his name. And so just, you know, I mean, we're all adults.
I mean, if he makes it to Final Tribal and somebody goes, did you write Coach's name down?
Technically, no.
Yeah. I scribbled.
I
did not. I wrote Chrissy and Co.
Like when you go, to like the store, sign your name and you just put like the.
Yeah.
That's what Joe was doing.
That's a legal signature.
Mm-hmm. So funny. All right. So what about Devins and Aubrey? Karishma, you played right on the heels of Devins and Aubrey the last time they played. You were coming in at 39. They played on season 38. I don't know if you ever had interaction with them way back then, but were you surprised that two people who played on the same season were willing to partner up for this and didn't fight harder to not be partnered?
I wasn't. Again, it goes back to what my thoughts are about that time of picking. You know, it confuses me about how all the puzzles came down. I'm not quite sure, but I'm not surprised. I think there's like a level of comfort. I think both of them felt a little bit with their backs on against the wall. And there's a little bit of comfort having somebody who you know and maybe trust a little bit more than others with you. So at the end of the day, which ultimately was what happened, y'all can put on a joined united front, right? Mm-hmm. What if it's like, okay, you're the only two up for elimination. You're against each other. You have to politic against each other. You know what I mean? You never know what kind of a twist it could possibly be. So I'm not surprised.
Mm-hmm. Is this the last time we will see this twist, or is this is going to happen once a year, just like Mergatory? Get used to it. This is a new thing for 51, 52, 53, and 54.
No, I think this is also a product of having to get rid of a lot of people at once.
Gotcha.
Because they stretched on both ends. There's a lot more players and there's a lot less days. So they have to really knock out players double, triple, much more just to stay with the timeline.
And what do you prefer? Because Karishma, you made it to the double boot in your season, right? You were at the final 10 when they split.
The double boot was the one Missy and Aaron went home.
Missy and Aaron, that's right. I haven't rewatched Island of the Idols since
it. We're getting there.
I loved it.
Yeah, don't take offense.
Because I haven't either.
Yeah, we're on Survivor Second Chance right now for Every Season Matters. So in about 8 months, we'll be watching it. But what do you prefer? Do you prefer what we watched last night or the division into two groups?
I don't know. I don't know. I like both. I really do. I'll be honest. I like both for different circumstances, right? Like what happened in our season, it was a complete rock draw, five, five, which could end up being somebody's ultimate demise, like it was Genevieve's, right? It's called swap screwed or, you know, pick screwed. And that sucks. That's not fun to watch. Because you don't want to see anybody's game being taken away from their control just by virtue of a rock draw. But it could happen with this twist as well. Your game could be taken away from you just by virtue of who you end up paired with. The only thing about, I guess, that I like this twist maybe a little bit better is that you have some say in who you're paired with. So it gives you a bit of control. Go ahead and make your bed and you're going to have to sleep in it, whatever ends up happening. So yeah, I think I might like this twist just slightly more because you have more control over it.
What do you think, Blake?
I think it's very interesting to me because if this wasn't Survivor 50, I think this is where I'm going to go a little bit outside of your question right here.
Okay.
I think this is what 41 through 49 should have been doing, is introducing weird things like this.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not going to have casting twists, if we're not going to have different locations,
themes,
themes or people are on the show because blank, this should have been 41 through 49 should have been like, and here's the triple boot. Oh, you guys didn't like that. Okay, we won't do that again. Here's the partner's boot. Here's the, you guys are tied together. When this person from Alabama goes home, this other person from Mississippi gets an idol. It's the transcontinental boomerang idol or something.
Yeah, like, weird shit. I love it.
Is what I think could have been happening. Drop the one. It's not old school. It's new school. It's old school with new twists or something where like, and now we pick our six favorites from 41 through 49 and watch them with your favorite players from the last 25 years. And I think it is kind of cool that we're seeing people for the first time ever. But whenever, how do you think Coach is going to go out when you're starting this season? Do you think Coach is going to win? Do you think he's going to get last place? There's not a single person that said, I think he's going to go at final 13 in the pairs twist.
Yeah,
because it's unfathomable. Yeah. So that ultimately leads you to being like not paid off correctly because nobody got the Coach placement correct because it's something we've never done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that matters to some people. It matters to me. And like, I think that's something. If the Blood Moon happened on 47, if the Partner's Twist was the thing that messed up people on 43, that's how Jesse and Cody went home or something, then it would be like, oh, we know how to play this. We're smart. Let's do this. Instead of, well, 63% of the fans said to absolutely screw you guys over. Mm-hmm. I'm Jeff Probst and welcome to Jackass. Like, it's not quite as a payoff for the audience as a brand new thing. Like fire tokens, if 39 had fire tokens and it was like, oh my God, Krishma used them so well. Mm-hmm. She bought a vote blocker right when she needed to and got mm-hmm. swapped. The fire tokens were so sick and they got to see that before they went to 40. And the fire tokens are such a, oh, why do I not like that season more? And then as soon as you click play on the first episode and he says fire tokens, you're like, oh, okay. No, so I think my soliloquy here is I like this stuff, but when we're throwing stuff against the wall with Legends of the Game, there's going to be some seasons or episodes where we feel bad about it. And I think if Rizzo and Suri had partnered up and gone home tonight, they would have burned CBS to the ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it sucks that like not a lot of people like Chrissy. She was somebody I was rooting for at the beginning of the season. A lot of people like Coach, but a lot of people don't like Coach. If it had been Suri and Rizzo going home, I think we would have been like
Bears.
Ah!
Yeah.
So yeah. It's like when good things happen to good people, we're all happy about it.
Well, they're all good people. It's they're just a matter of like, you know, what you feel the game mechanics or the game flow is going. Like for me, my issue with the 40s was that I feel like I watched like 10 seasons or nine seasons of the same season. Like mm-hmm. I can't tell them apart. And I feel really bad saying that out loud to, you know, for my friends who played in these new era seasons because they played valid games, but they should not be in a hodgepodge or not memorable for any reason, but I can't tell who was on which season because they were all the same. And I really, really, really hope because they're filming, I think 51 started filming now. I think it started filming today.
Yeah.
But I really hope they learn their lesson and they don't make 51 through 59 the damn identical shit again because it gets boring fast. So maybe 50, they're maybe using 50 to test out all this unpredictable crazy stuff, which would be awesome, and launching this whole, I don't know, newest era, whatever. That would be really great. I like seeing the new unpredictable stuff. I think it's fun. I think it's a lot of fun.
And
I think that
you go ahead, like, Phil, go.
Okay, yeah, my turn. No, I think that the thing with this twist too is like at the beginning of the 40s, they did try to throw shit at the wall. Hourglass, do or die, all that stuff. And it was nonsense. And it was objectively bad. And it was obvious it was going to be bad. Like somebody picking a carton because they finished last at an immunity challenge. Thank God that person and never actually went home and having to hit the hourglass. Like Erica was the nightmare scenario for the hourglass, but then everything else they just got so safe with. And I totally agree. We saw this split at either 5-5, 6-6, 4-4. I forget exactly what it is, but we saw this almost every single season of the new era. And so for me to be able to watch them go outside of the comfort zone, know that they could be making a huge mistake, but trusting it enough and realizing like this felt like a situation where all of us are sitting down going, wait, what? But then you actually had the adults in the room who get paid to do this stuff, who sat down and said, no, this is going to work because the gameplay is going to be outstanding around it. Because think about this, think about this, think about this, rather than what if they hit an hourglass with a hammer? It's like, okay, well, what's the situation? Well, either they get immunity or they don't get immunity. It's like, they're always going to hit the hourglass with the hammer. This was something that people could play around. I think we probably see this again.
I think so.
I don't know if it'll ever work as well as it did here, but I'm a huge Coach fan. I was so excited for him to be on here. Me coming out of a twist like this, knowing I lost Coach to it, I'm surprised I'm as okay with it as I am.
It was such good TV though. My husband doesn't watch Survivor. I'm just going to say this.
He told me numerous times. Yeah.
Like, I do not watch a show. I'm here to support Karishma. But he watched the episode with me last night because I think he was just doing something else in the room and it was on at the same time right behind us. And he doesn't know who Coach is. But every time Coach opened his mouth, I could hear Drew from the bathroom where I'm being like, who is this Yahoo?
Yeah.
And it was so funny because I had explained it. I said, honey, you don't understand. This man is a legend. He's like, well, he's a doofus. And I'm like, he's a legend. You have to go back and like watch one of his original seasons and you'll understand that he's not a doofus. He's a character. He has certain principles that he like lives by and like he really accentuates it for entertainment. We all know that. And that's what he's doing right now. He's like, well, why is he singing to himself? I'm like, because it's just people are different. But it's just somebody who doesn't watch Survivor found him to be such a cartoon, like objectively such a cartoon. And I feel sad losing him on my screen because I enjoyed watching him, the chaos, the controllingness. Like, it's fun to watch. It really is.
And I think it hit a crazy level last night of I didn't believe a single quote he said. Like,
way too many
are any of those quotes real, Coach? Like, you literally, it seemed like he was mad-libbing it of this is some topic, random. It's Magellan this time. Okay, and go.
And
you're just like
Rizzo.
You have to go home, like fight for this. Like, come on, bro. But yeah, losing Coach in this thing almost feels like at least we didn't dogpile him 12-1 and was like, get out of my jungle or whatever. Too like this is a way we could lose Coach forever, and it'd be like he could have won if it wasn't for that twist. Even though we know that isn't true. The Sigmund Freud one was that's a lie.
Like, that's a lie. I rolled my eyes at that one. I'm like, no, I said it out loud. I'm like, false. Like, as if I know. Like, it's false. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think he went a little bit cartoonish. I think he went a little bit cartoonish for the cameras, you know, but.
I mean, when he's whispering, when he's saying I can whisper it, nobody will hear it except for me. Like, I'm into that. I don't care. Like, Coach is an old man at this point too. I think that's what we have to remember. His coach is mid-50s at this point.
Yeah, and he was cheering for himself. And half of his haikus weren't the correct syllables.
Not at all.
Like he'd be cheering for himself when it was like 9 syllables. I'm like, bro! Like, you have enough fingers to count. But I just, it's, you know, it's cute. It's cute when somebody is that proud of themselves. And I like seeing it.
And find a way to get another coach on the show. They can't. They can't do it.
No, we haven't. Yeah. We haven't seen a character like him yet.
Nope.
Season 52, Island of the Idols 2, Coach's head as big as possible on a beach.
It would just be teaching people haikus and how to play a trumpet, right? Yeah. Nonstop. Like, that would be it.
Some of this.
I'll take it.
God, I don't know who would be next to him though. Maybe D. D and Coach of. Here's one way to play Survivor and here's the other way. I think something that somebody said, which is interesting, is, and then we're playing an all-star season. We don't talk about strategy until we're 30 minutes in. But somebody who played a crap load of strategy was Ceree, because she could, because it was never going to turn on her. But we had Ceree come and grab everybody's wigs and be like, no, Aubrey and Devins are not going home, Ozzy.
Yeah, we got to talk about Ceree.
She literally like whipped every vote. I think she was there maybe 15 minutes. And then everyone's like, oh, okay. And I think she played it so well where nobody was like, Ceree told me this. Ceree drove this. Ceree wants this. And it was such a like no brainer of, would you rather wait to vote two people out from that alliance or do it all in one night? What are you guys waiting for?
The mist of Ceree is real. I have never in any reality show ever seen somebody with such authentic power, right? That just feels so effortless and it's so dynamic. And everybody is just completely in this mist. And typically when that happens, we hate the person for it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't we as viewers? We don't like when somebody has that kind of control over people. Like, it's just psychologically jarring. But with Ceree, it's not. It's endearing is what it is, to at least to me. And when I watch her, I just think like the whatever this woman has is like my one wish. You know, where everyone's like, what superpower? If you could have any superpower, what superpower do you want? People are like, I want to be invisible. I want to be able to fly. Like, I want to be able to, you know, move with fast speed. I want whatever Sari has. That's the superpower that I want.
Here's a comment last night's episode from Meredith Durfler. This was on our recap episode. She said, for me, the 100% spoiler about every single episode is once Sari says that she wants someone out, 99% of the time, that's what's going to happen. She's amazing. So at this point, Sari's essentially spoiling the season, because when she's like, Ozzy, we're not voting out Devins and Aubrey. We're voting out Coach and Chrissy. Ozzy's like, fine. As an audience, there's no more suspense, because that's what Sari said. That's what's going to happen.
Ozzy's like, oh, thank God you showed me the way.
I'm like, Ozzy, stop this. Like, stop. Why is Ozzy so goo-goo eyes right now, considering he was blindsided by her back, you know? I mean, granted, it was a long time ago, but still, it's like, Ozzy, she could still pull the wool over your eyes, just like she's going to do to Stephanie later on.
And she will. But in episode one, Ozzy said it. He's like, look, I want to align. I get our history, but I want to align with her because I have blind spots in strategy. And I want to align with somebody who's going to be able to fill that hole that I bring to the game. And so he said it in episode one. And I remember it. And that's probably what he's decided to rely on her for.
Yeah.
For sure.
Everyone knows that familiar feeling when you just can't answer that one simple question. What's for dinner? Well, thanks to Omaha Steaks, I find myself in that situation way less frequently. Dinner is handled in minutes when I keep my freezer stocked with restaurant-quality protein from Omaha Steaks. And it's not just tender steaks. We're talking flavorful burgers, chicken, seafood, sides, and even desserts, all delivered directly to my door. So whether it's a rushed weeknight evening or a Saturday night cookout, you can have quality protein on hand when you need it. And let me fill you in on a little secret I've been using the past few years. Omaha Steaks proteins aren't just great to have in your own fridge, they also make fantastic gifts. When my dad's birthday comes around, I'll gift him one of the many options of steak packs, and it's an instant win-win. One year I got him the complete cookout collection, which is perfect because he enjoys grilling up everyone a great meal, and I make sure I'm there to celebrate with him, so I get a fantastic steak dinner myself. Win-win. Feel free to use that one. And I want to clarify something for any skeptics out there. Yes, frozen delivery can be this good. Omaha Steaks is known for their meticulous aging process and vacuum-sealed individual packaging. Shipped nationwide and arrives frozen, ready for grilling, searing, and roasting with minimal effort and time. No last-minute runs to the store that can't match the quality Omaha spent generations perfecting. And if you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect introduction. For just $79.99, you get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from 5 distinct cuts of meat. We got filet mignon burgers, New York strip burgers, ribeye burgers, brisket burgers, and sirloin burgers, each with their own different flavor and style. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99, plus get $35 off with promo code BEEF. This isn't some rinky-dinky discount. That's $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
In Backtrack by Mark Cameron, the past is prologue for a violent criminal with three names, Ricky Lee Pink. Pink has been rotting in jail for years, plotting revenge against the man who thwarted his almost perfect theft of $5 million in diamonds. That man, Wayne Cutter, is deceased, but his grandson, Arliss, is very much alive, for now. Pink and Cutter are about to collide in a violent confrontation on a floating city in the middle of the water, a massive cruise ship traveling around Alaska's Inside Passage. An experienced U.S. Marshal, Arliss must move fast but cautiously, or he may be the last of the Cutter family tree. As Survivor fans, it's not just the strategy and social dynamics that keep us enthralled. It's also the idea of man versus wild. This concept is at the heart of all Mark Cameron's novels, and it's especially prevalent in Backtrack. It's one of the main reasons I enjoyed this book, and as listeners of The Specialists, I know you will too. If you're an outdoor enthusiast, fan of wilderness thrillers by authors C.J. Box and William Kent Kruger, or just love a fast-paced action thriller from the likes of Brad Thor or Jack Carr, make sure to pick up your copy of Backtrack today. An Alaskan resident and Texas native with nearly 30 years in law enforcement, Cameron is a master of action and gritty detail. He brings explosive authenticity to Backtrack as U.S. Marshal Arliss Cutter's manhunt will employ all his skills and knowledge as a member of the U.S. Marshal's Service. Backtrack by Mark Cameron is available now wherever books are sold.
All right. I want to talk about the Devin's move at
Yay, my favorite. I like all that stuff.
So let's get into this. So Devin's and Aubrey are somewhat on the block. Their names are at least coming up. And Devin's decides that it is time to strike. And he's going to go and he's going to get this idol. He says, I was given a clue. He finds it. He won't show anybody. And then at the end of it, he tells Aubrey, I can't use it till the next tribal. It was meant to be snuck out. Karishma, how are you feeling about this entire story? Blake's shaking his head, I think, in awe. We'll get to him in a second. But Karishma, how are you feeling?
Tribal council is a very scary place. I'll be the first one to tell you that I have a lot of regrets about the game, but the biggest regret that I have is not having more courage and not speaking up when I should have spoken up and not doing the things and the moments that I was supposed to do them. And so I know how scary that moment must have been for Rick. Like, his hands must have been like this when he's like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, like, I'm about to go do this, right? Big thing. And it could have gone wrong in 100 ways, guys. Like, one wrong tone of voice from him and the whole thing is blown up, right? So he's depending on everything just going right. And I'm sure he's played it in his head a million times, what he's going to say if somebody asks to see it, what he's going to say when somebody says, go play it, like, you know, everything. So, but at the end of the day, like, this is why we watch Survivor. This is when they hit it. I was cheering. When Christian fell down, I was cheering, because that's the fun. That's the fun, scary stuff that I didn't have courage to do and that I'm seeing other people have courage to do. And it's awesome. It's awesome to watch. I don't know. I'm going to put this out there before I forget. I don't know how well this is going to work for him next week. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to be, if he's going to get lucky twice.
You know what I mean? If they just get voted out back to back to back, then that'll maybe change our feeling of what happened. But I think it is a fantastic, like, this gets them through two votes by
maybe. Like, maybe. You think, well, it gets two them votes next week?
Well, two votes of the double, at least. Of like, normally when you go over to grab the idol hidden, it'd be for this one vote. But this was double the power, kind of mm-hmm. if you are going to have a get out of jail free card. When they take two people to jail, it's like, great.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So I thought that was a super smart time to pull off this heist. And I thought it was, I'm going to echo some people online when they were like, when Stephanie's like, show us the idol. It's like, you're not on my squad, bro. Get out of here.
He's like, I don't have to show you anything. Knowledge is power. I'm going to keep that knowledge for myself. That's it.
Well, and his reasoning, like, this is what we talked about last night. His reasoning that, oh, I had to sneak it out so you guys would have seen that it wasn't useful tonight. That's a great reason to go back to camp and say.
It sounds like Jeff.
Yeah, it sounds legit. Now, my biggest concern for Devin's moving forward, is that I feel like he's going to be on the wrong side of the numbers to the point where eventually they'll be able to split votes on him and somebody else in his alliance.
They're going to split on him next week.
And that'll be the end of him and he'll go home. But I don't know if they'll have the numbers to do it next week. Cause right now I feel like there is Christian, Emily, Devins, Aubrey,
Jimmy Fallon.
11 people left.
And maybe Tiffany.
And because Tiffany's there, like, who knows? Maybe now that coach is gone, maybe Joe is like, I'm done with this. Like, screw you guys. You guys were all really willing to vote out coach. Maybe he goes a different way. So I don't know if they'll be able to split the votes next week, but let's say Christian were to go or Emily were to go, or they were to go back to back. Now, all of a sudden, Devin's has nowhere to hide. They can easily just put the votes on him. But all of the lies were great. The deception was great. And I know Tegwith and I were talking about it last night of, did he go for it too quickly? Like, did he know too much where it was? But my argument was, if they're going to hide this at tribal council, they're going to tell you exactly where it is.
Not
going to
waste time with somebody looking.
Mm-mm. What was that?
They're not going to waste time on somebody looking.
Exactly. Because they don't want everybody else then to be in on it and be like, whoa, what about this? What about this? So I do feel like, even though Steph is saying, let me see it. And Devin says, no, I understand why that might be seen as a bad look to some, but there's no way you're thinking Rick Devins hit an idol at tribal and then came back and picked it up. Like nobody, he hasn't been on to that many tribal councils.
Tribal council is chaotic. Your brain is scrambled. There's no way you're putting that many pieces together. You're able to put three pieces together max. And what I think worked really well is that he gave very little information. His sentences were very short, mildly spoken, not loud, not explained. What he did, and I don't know if this is was on purpose or just how it ended up, is he let other people put the puzzle together for him. And I think that worked so well. In particular, I saw like Tiffany was like, he explained it. Like, this is what happened. I would have been that person. I would have been that person that would have put it together and been like, hey, guys, this is what happened. The man found a clue. And he knew exactly where it was, and that's what he has in his hand. Okay, let's move on. Like,
yeah.
That and Rick would have been like, yeah, you know. But that's how like type A people, like he knew that people are not going to be able to figure everything out and come up with question marks. No.
And like somebody like Rizzo's going over, patting him on the shoulder, saying, "Oh my God, you found six of these." And like Rizzo's big enough of a fan, watched every season, probably multiple times, knows these games, knows everything inside and out. He knows that at the last returning player season, Adam Klein tried to pull this and it didn't work. So if it doesn't work, maybe production says, look, we'll do one at tribal, but it's going to be in this specific spot behind a rock. So you're not destroying the set. You're going to be able to see it from your seat. Like, that's it. But this one, like he said, you have to sneak it out. So it's not as obvious as Adam's on the podium. It's something that on your way out, you'd be like, oh, I'm going to go over and I'm going to grab that. It all makes sense. It all adds up. We as an audience consider and be like, well, Steph's on to him. So that means everybody else is going to be on to him. It's like, I don't even know if Steph is on to him. I just think Steph, being who Steph is like, I want to see it. Like, prove it. Like, that's who Steph is. At the end of the day, I'm not risking my game saying Devin's prove it, because there's no reason to think that this is fake, because he would have had to have planted it there. And that just seems unrealistic at this
point. Too many things would have had to have gone right for that to work. And guess what? They did. But you can't guess that at tribal. Yeah. I'm just really worried about him next week. You know, I'm really worried. I mean, it's just the splitting with him catching votes. How does he not catch votes next week after this? It grinds my gears though, because I'm a big Rick Devins fan, huge Rick Devins fan. I've been like a champion of him coming back forever. I think he's fantastic. But
let's say a couple more sentences about Rick Devins then. Why do we like him so much? I think that is the part of the confidence plus opportunity plus creativity is something that I'm not going to say he's the most creative, most confident, most opportunist a person. That's not a word. But like, I think he fits that bill of, if we're coming, if I'm going to be the 24th person on this season, because somebody probably said, you're actually the alternate, he's playing with house money immediately. Yeah. Is he going to play a third time? Let's not think about it. Let's play as hard as we can the second time, and then that'll follow.
And he is.
Like, whenever you do have someone like Rizzo being like, let me fan out real quick, can I get your autograph? It's like, I think that's only going to fuel him to go like, okay. And then Jonathan... whenever Jonathan says good things, I'll say good things about Jonathan. And then there's a bad one. When Jonathan is trying to like intimidate Devins in the middle of tribal council, it's like, no, bro. I'm fine. And him standing up to Jonathan and Jonathan, like, it is something where I don't think Jonathan came off looking great there.
No, Jonathan kind of triggered me a little bit. I wasn't a big fan. I don't know him personally. I've never spoken to him, never met him. So the second I do, all of this might change. So I'm not going to put this in stone, but Jonathan really triggers something about bullies to me. And I don't know what it is, but bullies is a big stressor. And I kind of got that sense from him, and I just don't appreciate it. I don't like it. Everyone's like, Jonathan's playing the great game, this and that. I think elements of his game kind of remind me of elements of certain people's games in my season that I just didn't appreciate. And It means not exactly the same, but the little hints that I'm feeling like in my soul kind of push me against him. So I'm not going to sit here and like admire his game.
And how is he going to get 6 or 7 votes at the end?
You know,
if he keeps in the middle of tribal being like, that's not real.
I mean, he may not be that in person at all. He may be a completely fantastic person, which is what I found. But in the game, talking about what I'm seeing in the game, I don't appreciate bullying tactics or anything like that, you know? And I get what he did last episode with D. Made a lot of sense. Get her riled up. This is a saucy female. I know exactly what's going to get her screaming. And he did it. And patting him on the back, and everyone said, that's really great gameplay, this and that. I just don't like it. I don't like it.
Krishma, I'm glad you know me before if I ever play Survivor, because that's probably what I would do.
Stop.
I like to antagonize.
Let's figure out how to get this girl to put her foot in her mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that is the right way. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. That's Survivor. It's a game of betrayal and all that the mean stuff and whatever. But it kind of triggered me because a lot of people did that to me, right? So a lot of people sort of figured out what was gonna antagonize me and get me to just paint myself as worse than what they thought I was. And they did it and it happened. And so, you know, I saw it happening with D. I didn't like really like it.
And that's a major storyline that I have been loving bringing up every Thursday whenever we do this, is the whole thought process of, this is my Survivor, not baggage, but Survivor thing that I need to get over. There's a better word for it that they've even used on the show, but like my Survivor wound that still hurts me to this day. And I think that's interesting. If Karishma's on 50 and Jonathan comes at her this way, it'd be like,
or I would throw a fucking coconut at his fucking head. Okay. I'm right now, I learned my lesson. I would not be able to stay calm. What happened was, my season is like, I just took it. I took it and it made me look like a weak, sopping. I cried. I let it make me cry. I let it make me go sit alone and become a sad sap. And then they're like, she's playing the victim. Well, yeah. You know what I mean? I didn't.
People have been trying to vote you out since the very beginning.
And when I did fight, it was like 10 against 1 and it was just a losing battle. They didn't air it. I did fight back a couple times. I did fight back one time very, very harshly and they didn't air it because I just got beaten up by 10 people. But it's just like, it brought back something. And every Survivor player has a trigger, because we all come home, even the winners, everybody comes home with some kind of a regret. Or some kind of a new thing that they never knew about themselves that they learned out there. Everybody. So that's just how I feel about Jonathan. And we'll see if he changes my mind.
Well, and one of the things that I was really going to say, because when Blake asked about, you know, what is it that we like about Rick Devins, I think it is the fact that Devins does not take shit from anybody. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why so many people connect with him. Because when you look at Devins, I had said this last night, it's like, a little bit nerdier of a guy, a little bit older of a guy, a little bit out of shape guy. Like, he's very charismatic, but aside from that, he is your everyday man. Like,
we'd
always say, like, when Philip Seymour Hoffman died, like the actor, it was like, oh man, he was such an everyman. He got to be a leading actor sometimes, but he was never as good looking as Leonardo DiCaprio, right? He just kind of looked like that could be my dad. Like, why is he in movies? He's just really talented. And Devins just has this charisma that kind of goes beyond who he even is. Mm-hmm. And I always think about, because my wife hasn't watched Edge of Extinction yet. So when I talk to her about Devins, I'm like, I can't wait for you to see some of the stuff he does in that season, because he knows where he stands, but he's not going to let people get the last word or walk all over him. And I think about the episode that they aired this year before season 50, where he's sitting there and he knows they're all going to vote him out. And he's like, so you guys want to vote for tonight? What are you thinking? And he's like messing with them, and none of them find it funny, but he's getting under their skin because he knows that his back's against the wall and that they're just going to pile on because that's what they do. Mm-hmm. And so for me, when you look at Devin's game, it's more than just the confessionals. It's more than just, you know, the willingness to go for it. It's the fact that he's going to give you good content and good drama, because he wouldn't take shit from Joe. Joe wouldn't take shit from him. So what do we get? We get conflict. That's what we need. And in a lot of the new era, you get people who are like, man, I know how to win this game. I have to walk away from this. It's like, no, I don't want people who walk away from it. I want people who yell at you, because I can get loud too, wins the game twice. So it's okay to do that.
It's okay to be like,
you know what Rick is?
Yeah, but I think people are afraid of it.
Cool as a cucumber.
Whoa!
I really thought you were eating celery the whole time. That was good.
That's what he is.
That's funny. I really did think you were eating celery with dill dip this entire time.
No, cucumbers with dill dip. So good.
I got to meet Rick for the first time at Ron Clark's. And he is just such down-to-earth, genuine, everyday guy, just like you said. And let me just point this out. I love his wife, Becca. Mm. She is so cool. She is just like your girl next door mom who you immediately feel warmth from her. And so they're like a next door power couple. I like genuine people like that. So,
you're aligning with her on Blood versus Water 3.
Oh my God.
54.
It'll be like, we'll pretend to hate each other, but we'll actually be like this 100%.
Hell yeah.
I am.
My poor husband will be like, what am I doing here?
Yeah. Yeah. He'll be like, I don't even know what this game is. I didn't even watch Christmas season.
Yeah.
No, I feel like with Devin's too, like I didn't get to run into him again at Ron Clark, but back during 38, it was the same thing where like I had gotten to talk to a lot of that cast. And he was one that I hadn't talked to before finale night. And finale night came and you would have thought that like we'd hung out a million times. And like, I feel like Devin's, he's not, you know, I feel like sometimes with Christian, some people are like, is he putting it on? Coach, is he putting it on? Devin's and Emily, like just to go to two other sides, like I don't feel like either one of them put it on. Like this is just really who they are and they turn it on, they turn it off. Does Devin's know he's on TV? Absolutely. But Devin's is also doing what he can to get further in the game to make his moment. And I said last night, I think out of every single person who's playing for their second time on this season, I think Rick Devin's has the best chance to play a third time out of anybody pre-40 because like better chance than Christian, better chance than Angelina, better chance like right down the line, because I just feel like he's delivering what they want. Mm-hmm. He's always going to be entertaining. He's not the kind of guy where it's like, oh, he's got to be good
he's
at challenges.
He's not running out of steam. Out of steam.
Yeah. And he would be willing to go. I think Christian is somebody who would be like, I have a newborn. I don't know. I feel like Becca would say, Rick, you got to go play the game again. And he would just be like, okay.
Okay. There we go. I think Christian's going to do traitors.
He does season 60 where the winner of the season gets to be the new Jeff Probst. And it's only a 10-person
season.
That's
the first rigged season in the history of Survivor.
I don't know. I just don't want, I think I'm going to get shot for saying this. I really do not want Boston Rob as the new Jeff Probst.
I think he'll be fine.
I don't think it's the right pick.
I think he already tried to host a reality show and it didn't even air its first season. So that came and went.
I think I want him to be successful in everything that he's doing. I just have such like different standards for the new Jeff Probst, you know, like, yeah.
How would you feel about RIZGOD Rizgod baby?
Too young. No, he's a child.
What do you mean too young? That means the show could
listen to Karishma. Okay. She decided.
No.
All right.
I could be his mommy. No, I'm not listening to him. There's any voice of authority. Nobody's taking him serious. I love him. Nobody's going to take him seriously as a host. You need, you know, the host is the authority figure. You need somebody who's an authority.
Who's
figure.
Your ideal host?
I don't know. I thought about this, but I just don't know.
You can't say Tommy Sheehan. I'm just telling you.
Oh my gosh. Real quick.
Karishma's not even, she's not even acknowledging that play. She's just like, move on.
No bait. The one that I was interested in pairwise that we haven't brought up, Ozzy and Stephanie, were they the most, we could vote out five pairs and they would be the last pair standing. I don't think anybody even thought about them. I thought those are two strong people. Where if I'm in the middle and I'm trying to just like eliminate players that could beat me down the road, that stood out to me as the pair of like, get both of these players out because they've made it to final tribal councils. They know how to do whether I'm on their side or not. Maybe that's probably more important. But like, why was that pair not even thought of as we could sacrifice Stephanie to get out Ozzy? Because if we don't get out Ozzy quickly, we're going to be toast.
Who's Stephanie's number one ally right now?
I mean,
was it
probably Jonathan, honestly.
So Jonathan would be protecting Stephanie, and Ozzy's is probably Serene Rizzo.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's why.
That's probably why. I think that they have protection on all fronts.
Like, I think they would have been the last pair standing if they had done some other, A lot of these twists have already been used on Big Brother. A lot of these twists have already been used on Canadian Big Brother. And I worked on Canadian Big Brother. Oh, yeah? If we went down the line and each pair picks the next pair to give immunity to, and we pick and we pick and we pick, I don't think there's a way Stephanie and Ozzy go in any permutation of this, but it's just crazy to me because they also felt like one of the strongest pairs of
objectively, they're the ones that should go, right? Because you're playing individual immunity, right? Objectively, they're the ones that you want out. But I think that there's a little bit of a mix between the new era alliance thought process and the old era alliance thought process, where like I think they mentioned it in an episode, like the new era like to pick their alliances based on like who's going to get me through this next vote. And in the old era, it was more like, this is my alliance and this is going to be who I'm riding with and this is who I'm going to be protecting moving forward. And there's like a little bit of a mix going on. I think the old era thought process is winning a bit more, and we see that evidenced by the fact that Ozzy and Stephanie weren't even up for elimination.
I think the other thing that makes it interesting is like what pair is more likely to win, because I think there's a lot of similarities. Ozzy and Stephanie or Coach and Chrissy. Like at the end, if you were to sit next to them, sitting next to Ozzy and Stephanie is a lot scarier than sitting next to Coach and Chrissy. But I think that players like Sari, especially on a season like this where there's so many twists, where there's so many advantages, all that, it's all about keeping as many options open as possible. Mm-hmm. And Stephanie, even though she's not in the alliance with Sari, like she's not officially in there, at least from an edit perspective. I mean, Sari knows that she knows what she knows about Stephanie. She can read Stephanie like a book. Yeah, you want to keep Stephanie around that.
Yeah. They did the thing. Yeah. Figured it all out. Stephanie was like, she got me. Yeah. They're going to be working together moving forward. I think, you know, they pull in the right people. We'll see, but I don't know. I love seeing these particular people playing. I've been waiting for this. They're just brilliant players of the game in their own right. You know, like say what you will about Emily. Let's talk about Emily for a second. Say what you will about the first couple episodes of her, you know, being Chatty Cathy, but she's still the one who's clocking it. The first one clocking it. Guys, if we don't get them out, we no longer have the numbers. This is the only, she's clocking all that stuff. And I love that about her. I think that makes her that like people didn't understand why is Emily on 50. Well, that's why Emily's on 50. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's why.
Yeah.
And there's only 10 days left to get out 8 people.
Ugh, yeah. 10 days. These pansies.
Yeah. What day did you get voted out, Karishma?
32. I did my research. Don't worry.
Blake looked up Karishma fun facts for an hour before this.
My name is late. Half of them. All facts about Karishma are fun.
Oh my god. So embarrassing.
Yeah. The Emily stuff was funny, and then last night she had her moment where Rizzo yelled, "Coach, you changed my life," as he was going out, and Emily had that big like eye pop. So funny.
I loved it.
So perfect. You can't turn it off. I would hate to be at a funeral with Emily because I would know exactly how Emily felt about the dead.
She wears the stuff on her sleeve. So I met her and kind of fangirled out at Ron Clark's, and I was like, "You tall, bitch." And she's like, "No, I'm just wearing heels." She's a lot taller in person than I thought she would be. And Rick Devin's a lot shorter in person than I thought he would be. But I go up to Emily and I'm like, look, I take my like I give him one sentence because everyone's moving about and talking to other people. But I'm like, I just want you to know, I was questionable about like why you're on 50. She's like, me too. And I'm like, but you turned me around because like as much as, you know, they're editing you and showing you like leaking secrets and all that, I can tell you are a smart female. And I appreciate smart women on TV. And I think there needs to be more smart women on TV who are putting together the facts for these men and, you know, explaining it to them. And I kind of saw that last night. So, and she's like, thank you so much. But I don't think I'm very smart. And I don't think I'm being shown very smart. I'm like, no, you are. Trust me. Very humble, very sweet. But I think it's important for the women on Survivor to show their intelligence.
I say this lovingly to Emily. Because Emily knows that it's nothing but love. But you just said she's very humble. Ask Carl about running that challenge with her, that puzzle that we did. All of us should be very humble, Emily included. That's all I'm going to say, because we weren't very good at that challenge. Maybe that's
at the end of Ron Clark?
Yeah, at the end of Ron Clark. Yeah, Emily was on my team.
I had a cocktail in each hand, and I was just like watching the vibe. I was watching like Big Monkey.
Carl.
muscly David just do everything. Oh my God.
Carl looks at me and he's like, Phil, I can't run in these shoes. I'm like, Carl, we have to run 20 feet. It's right there.
He's wearing cowboy boots.
I know. He can't turn it off. Just like Emily can't turn off the faces. Carl can't turn off the cowboy. He just can't help it.
Godfather Carl. I love him. He's my bestie. I love him.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's the best. But no, Emily's been a lot of fun on this season. And I know when I had a similar interaction with her where she's like, I'm glad you're enjoying it because I'm certainly not. And I was like, no, I'm like, this is like exactly what we wanted. You come out of this season, there's very few people that should be taken seriously. And I'm not saying all, there's some people who will have their opinions, but there's very few people who should be taken seriously who are going to be like, oh, Emily was a total bust on this season. I never want to see her again. I think most people are going to be clamoring for Emily the same way they're going to be clamoring for Genevieve. Genevieve, maybe a little bit more because she was robbed. But what Emily is currently bringing to the show, like I laugh every week, I'm entertained, and she's great in confessionals, and she's playing a strategic game, even if the strategic game is to just walk around and say, Blake, remember earlier when you told me that thing I shouldn't tell anybody? I'm going to say it to Karishma in front of you to all of our listeners as well. Like, she can't help it.
It cracks me up. And you know, they're not showing as much. Whatever happened to the Emily Ozzy alliance? Right?
Yeah, that's kind of been quiet.
They were real tight. And maybe they're keeping it quiet and it's going to come out. But they hold, like, she's in this whole, like, middle, like, I guess, like, nerds group. And then he's over here with the Sari, Rizzo, possibly, like, Stephanie and Tiffany now. Or Tiffany will be over here. I'm not quite sure. But that linchpin is Emily and Ozzy. I mean, I'm talking final three, Emily Ozzy here. You know?
Well, and that's where I think that if they do start taking out the Devins, Christian, all of that, like Emily's probably last from that group. Even though we do have Tiffany saying she's a flip flopping and that can only be flipping. That can't be anybody else. That has to be
a good line.
Yeah, it has to be that.
I love Tiffany and I love Tiffany's position right now. I think she's in a really good
Tiffany has worked her way into a really good spot.
Got herself out. Yeah.
A bad start. She's doing much better now.
Nobody would target Tiffany now.
She'd be on the final six at least, for sure.
Yeah, it's a waste.
One other thing about Emily flipping real quick, the last layer for me, whether she gets absolutely owned next week, whether she gets final three and has the win of a lifetime or gets knocked out at five at fire, like I think what's the it factor for her is no matter what happens to her in the story, how it ends, I think it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
And I think there's some other people on the show that their story only works if they're a loser, or their story only works if they come over the top and win the final tribal council. But I think that's why I could watch Emily play two or three times, because boy, did she best someone at 22. She bested someone at 17, but then she got absolutely owned, or she used all of that besting to win at the end. Like any kind of permutation for Emily, I think she'll be giving it her all emotionally, and it's satisfying when she wins or loses.
Mm-hmm. Karishma just discovered that her computer was about to die. We said an hour. We're pretty much there. I don't know if Karishma's here or not. It seemed like it was a success, and now it might have been a fail. I don't know. Blake, I hear what you're saying, though. I feel like Emily is one of those where, like, she's not at Abby Maria's level, but she's at the level of like, I would watch Emily get 20th place. I would watch Emily get 6th place. I would watch Emily get 14th place. I don't care what place Emily's going to get. I'm just going to be happy to watch Emily. So let's see if Karishma's there to say.
Who texts you?
No, she hasn't texted me yet, but we'll say our final piece on this episode before here. I don't know. Honestly, though, she should be very pleased with how she froze, because sometimes people freeze and it's a disaster. Yeah, exactly. Alexa did that a couple episodes ago, and I was like, no, and it was only like 2 seconds, but I'm just texting her.
I think what's interesting, too, of what's on the horizon here, how does Rick Devins get out of this? And I don't think there's any way Rick Devins gets out of this without annoying a couple people.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. Okay, so now Karishma just popped up here. I mean, I feel like Rick Devins has an uphill battle ahead of him just because of the fact that now there's an idol. People are somehow going to want to try to get rid of that. So how does he get through people targeting him when he has a fake idol? he doesn't actually have a way to protect himself. So what does he do?
But is somebody like Rizzo going to go, I can't wait to work with you? Or is Rizzo going to go, here's how we vote out Devins?
I think Rizzo probably tries to vote out Devins. I don't think that Devins is enough in his plans. And I think right now is the turning point of the game where you decide, who can I beat now? I think the game is starting to take shape and it's like, I can't beat Devins Christian. If I'm Rizzo, I can't beat Devins Christian. I can beat Joe and Jonathan. I'd rather go that way. I'd rather go with Joe and Jonathan in that alliance. Because if I'm going to go with Ozzy Suri, I need to know that there's two or three other people that I can beat, and Christian Devins aren't those people.
True.
So
now that there's 11 people left, all these people made the top half.
Mm-hmm.
How many possible winners out of 11 do we still have?
I think four. Oh, wait, are we going based on the confessional thing? Because then it's only Aubrey, Christian, Ozzy, and... No,
we're going based on Phil Burr's mind.
I'm back.
All right, this is the last part, Krishma. We're just he's just asking me.
There's 11 people left. Pretend I have a six finger on this hand. 5-5 plus one. That means all these people made the second half of the game, or they're in the top half of 24. It's insane that there was 24 people. I feel like there's a couple of people we didn't expect. But how many winner possibilities do we have left out of these 11 people?
So I will say, I actually did this today on the Patreon. So good job, Blake.
Oh, God.
Look what you did.
This is for free.
Yeah. Joe and Tiffany have no shot. There's just no way, based on the edit, based on also like their standing in Survivor history. I don't think there's any way they get the votes. I don't think that Christian can get there. If he did, obviously, he'd have the story, but we're at final 11. How many landmines is he about to dodge? I don't think he has enough of an alliance. I don't think that Jonathan is kind of like an outside shot for me, like very outside, but he'd have to go to the end with the right people. So, yeah, I feel like we probably have five people left who can win. I think Aubrey, I think Rizzo, believe it or not. Yes, I think Rizzo. I think that Devins still has an outside shot. I think that Ozzy and Suri have really good shots. Like Ozzy especially, because Suri still has to get there. But I could see Ozzy being the guy that they get to Final Five because they needed his number. He wins immunity at five. He wins fire at four. And now you're letting Ozzy sit at Final Three. And as long as he's not there against Suri, Ozzy is the winner of Season 5. So those are the five I'm looking at. And Aubrey's is strictly because she's had a confessional in every episode. I'm looking at that part of the edit. She has not had to do a lot on this season, but she has a confessional in every episode. Why does she have that, but Suri doesn't? So that's why I'm looking at Aubrey.
Wow.
What do you think, Karishma?
I did not expect that. Now that you've been, it's great.
So I disagree with you on Joe and Tiffany. I think that Joe and Tiffany have a chance. I think that they're in the running. And I'm just looking at different things, but I really think Tiffany could end up with a storyline that she could pitch at Final Tribal about how she played Survivor, you know, at the bottom, at the top, in the middle, fought her way through. It did all the elements of classic Survivor and ended up there. It's possible that that's what her storyline ends up being. And I think she's a likable person. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to vote for people you don't like. And I don't think Tiffany is going to check that box. I think people could check the boxes for her. So I think Tiffany's there. Joe, could he? I don't think that he's an immediate no, like he was for you, Phil. But I'm not quite as certain about him. But I think, I mean, he could. It's possible.
I think Joe could have won Survivor in 2004.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
I don't know if Joe can win Survivor in 2024, because it's just like, this is where the game has gone. Like, Joe's playing Monopoly and we're on like Monopoly Deal Hello Kitty version to the streets, and Joe's like, where's Boardwalk? And it's like, it just, girl, it is not called Boardwalk in this one.
It depends on what he's able to do, but I see exactly what you're saying. I do also disagree. I don't think Rizzo can win. And I say this, like, honestly, I think that he's playing a fantastic game. He's studied the game. He's implementing all the elements of what he's studied. He could play a perfect game and end up in those chairs, I don't think the people that are on the jury are going to be willing to make him the nameplate of 50. And I think it's a shame because that shouldn't be the case. Mm-hmm.
Here's my thing on it, Krishma, though. Like when I, why I say Joe can't win and why I think Rizzo can. If you got a final three, that's a combination of these four, Tiffany, Joe, Jonathan, Rizzo. I think Rizzo wins like 95% of the time in those permutations. I don't think Jonathan wins. I don't think Joe wins. See, Tiffany, the whole thing with Tiffany is too, I'm definitely blinded by the fact that she wasn't on the season for the first three episodes. So that's definitely hurting me more. But I get where you're coming from. Like if you were just to say these two people next to each other, maybe it is Tiffany. Blake is gasping. Blake, are you dead? Are you alive?
Here's the thing, and this is a conversation we had a lot at Ponderosa.
Krishma gooped and gagged me right there, being like, Rizzo should probably win, but it's never going to happen.
We had a lot of conversations at Ponderosa, us jurors, who do we want to represent us? And this was like pre any knowledge of all the bullshit that was about to happen, right? Okay, we thought we were going to have a half decent season.
Your season's the best one? What are you talking about? Okay, never
mind. I went to your finale. It was amazing.
This was before the bomb exploded that we were like the ugly stepchild. But, you know, we were having conversations. Who do we want to represent us? This person is going to represent our season. Who do we feel comfortable? Who do we want doing that? And it was like an auto no for Nora. So like, my God, what a fucking shameful, terrible thing if it was Nora, right? Everyone knew that. But when it was between Dean and Tommy, that was what the conversation was around. And so that's why I say it about Rizzo. Like, he can play the perfect game and, you know, do everything right. But are the people who are going to be on that jury, like these legends who would be on the jury at that point, right? Because if he's in contention, then these legends are not in contention.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to want him. And so one last thing, because I know, Blake, you want to give your input. One last thing. Ozzy and Suri are my top two winner picks.
That's what I think too right now. Honestly, I really agree with you on that. I really, really do.
And I played a lot of craps with Ozzy this past week. And let me tell you, I was looking. I was like, how much money are you putting down, baby? Are you a millionaire?
Yeah.
I was looking.
Were you at the $10 minimum table or the $25 minimum table?
But no, I'll be honest. I think that he's in a fantastic position. I think he's playing a great game. He's, you know, going to Tiffany, just admitting, I voted for you. Like, you know what I mean? Like being in that sereneness and understanding that he has that blind spot. She doesn't. Like, I think he's in a great position, but my God, would Suri be the ultimate representative? Yeah.
I think he'd be great. What's so funny is before the season started, I'm like, okay, we're giving Suri a fifth try. Like nobody else has played that many times. Like, is this really going to be meaningful if she does win? It's officially at the point that if Suri wins the season, it is very meaningful. Like there is no asterisk next to it. Like she is playing good of a game as you could hope her to play to be the winner. This wasn't, oh, Suri, let's take you along for the ride. Congratulations. Then we're going to vote you out at 6. This is Suri taking control of the game. And I think that's what's impressive. And I think, honestly, that might be part of the reason why Ozzy's willing to play with her. Because it's like, look, if I'm not going to win, I'd love it.
I want her to win.
Yeah.
And Ozzy loves this game so much. You can tell. He loves it with his soul. So he would be somebody who would want a representative who is worthy. I think so. Yeah, I think a lot of the people on the jury would.
And Coach did say in his exit press today that there was a lot of talk from the old school players of a 26-day person can't win the season. Like can't be the representative. Like there was a lot of old school players who were kind of in that mindset.
These are the conversations we have. Who's worthy?
Mm-hmm. So I do think for somebody like,
I could ever win Survivor anymore.
Rizzo would have to sit there with two new school players. So would Jonathan. So would Joe. So would Tiffany. I think so would Emily to an extent. I don't think Emily could win without it. So those are the five. Those are the five that are left. Mm-hmm. And I think that they would all have to sit at the end with
Stephanie.
Another person. Yeah. What was that?
What do y'all think of Stephanie?
Go ahead, Blake. You like that, Krishma?
Is that Stephanie dance?
You can't get down like that.
That's the gross boys dance. We're gross boys over here. I just knew that there was going to be not a lot of people doing the Stephanie meter. Stephanie's playing extremely well, and I think that's interesting because some people don't like her outside of the game. But on Survivor, she's playing well. Nobody even thought to vote her out. She still has her vote, Snatcher, which I think is, we didn't talk about it this time because we didn't, it wasn't going to be relevant, but the lower and lower we get, I think the more and more she could say, I'm also willing to lay my life down for you, Suri. If Suri has three people doing that and she has three of them in the final four or five with her, she's going to bring Stephanie as far as possible.
But what if Suri slits her throat next week?
That'd be sick. That'd be so sick.
That could absolutely happen. So yeah.
But
that's why I don't really have a feel for if Stephanie could win or not. Because if Stephanie sits next to the new school people, I think she probably does win. Yeah. I think she has enough favor from the jury. But if she sits next to any of the pre-40 people, I think she loses. So
I agree with you, Phil.
Yeah, that's what's weird about Stephanie's. That's where Stephanie is smack in the middle. She is sixth best odds to win because she needs to sit against the exact right people to win.
Fun fact, me and Stephanie are from the same town outside of Philly. We're both from Delco.
Did you buy a Delco shirt?
I want to. I actually texted her about that. I'm like, I love your shirt. I want one.
Yeah, there you go.
I went to high school there. My parents still live in Delco. Like we are, I'm still a Delco person.
Which is crazy because where Stephanie grew up, or I don't know if it was grow up, whatever, but in Toms River, New Jersey, that's where my mom grew up. And I lived in the town beneath that my entire life until I moved. So me and Stephanie bonded over that, honestly, at the Ron Clark thing.
I've heard of New Jersey before. So
yeah, Blake has never been to New Jersey because
he's the kid of America.
I love it. It's the best.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
I had a blast, Karishma. I think to not disappoint anybody here, I think why not Suri? She has a coconut with a Phoenix on it that she could probably pretend it's an idol and nobody would know the difference. Rizzo's going to tell her, hey, use this. I think I'm going to piggyback on what you said of, I think even more so than ever, these jury conversations of who do we want to represent us are going to happen during the game.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And whenever it's time to maybe vote a legend out, because it's smarter, they're going to not do it. And they're going to go after someone else. Not as a like, oh, I'm going to make a boneheaded move on purpose. But I think there will be I can't vote Suri out over Rizzo. Clearly Rizzo is the person we should take to the end. But I have been on 5 shows. I've been on 4 shows. I've been on 2 shows with Suri. Mm-hmm. I can't vote her out over Rizzo. And like, if Suri does win this season, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But also, they made 51 and 52, got greenlit. So we know it's not a bad win. Like it's not going to be catastrophic.
It's not Island of the Idols level bad game.
Nobody left. I'm going to put this out there. Nobody left would be a bad winner.
Yeah.
Because my opinion is if you win Survivor, you deserve it. That's it.
But Suri deserves it more, and she's winning this one.
You can deserve it more, but I don't think any winner of Survivor, I know there's bad ones that even recently that people are just not on board with, but if you won for a reason, that's it. Survivor is just that dynamic.
True.
Yeah, and I think right now, like what Blake is saying, kind of reminds me of Ben in Winners at War,
mm-hmm.
where he knew he was drawing dead. So why ruin Sarah's chance? And like, why potentially have the season? Like, look, I love Michelle, but if Ben thinks he's going to go to the end against whoever returns from Edge and Michelle and still lose, he's probably sitting there being like, well, I don't want that to be what the season ends up being remembered for. I don't want to be the guy who did that. I will kind of lay down on the sword so that Sarah, who has a better relationship with everybody out here, has a better chance to win. Now, I don't think you're going to get anybody laying down on the sword this season, but at the same time, like, I think Ozzy would be okay going to fire against Suri at 4 because it's like, hey, either I'm going to win or you're going to win. Let's battle it out right now. And we're going to be the winner of season 5. Like, that would be fun. And I wasn't a big fan of Ozzy coming into the season, but I love him right now.
Yeah. I love being wrong. Like while I'm watching, you know, like I came in, I'll tell you, I was down on cue. I was like, I cannot, because he was annoying in that first season. I don't like watching people play Survivor who don't know how to play Survivor, who are wild cards and Magricks and who are just kind of doing shit for the sake of doing it. I don't like that. But the first few episodes of this season, I was on the Q train. Like I enjoyed him. I thought he was playing smart. for the most part, right? You don't tell anybody to vote for me, whatever. But he, mm-hmm. I thought, I mean, and so I was proven wrong and I appreciated that. I like being proven wrong. You know, I was a little down on Emily, but she's proving me wrong. You know, she's giving us what we wanted. So I appreciate that. Anybody who wins Survivor deserves it in their own right for whatever reason. That is the reason. And we have to live with it because we are Survivor fans.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
All right. We went an hour 15. Any final thoughts here, Karishma, before we get out of here? That was almost a Gross Boys dance. That was close.
No, this is just hands up.
Yeah, see, Blake's got the Gross Boys dance. See, you're texting Stephanie and she's making those shirts, tell her we need a Gross Boys shirt.
Well, I'm going to message her on Instagram and tell her I need a Delco shirt for sure.
And we need her to make a Gross Boys shirt because her fans, being that she used to be La Grossa, are now the Gross Boys, started by Blake. Grossa.
Yeah, no, thank you for inviting me. I'm so glad and happy to be able to talk Survivor with y'all. I don't know, like I've mentioned this to you, Phil, like none of my friends watch Survivor. It's very weird. Mm-hmm. So I get to talk about a passion of mine with people who I connect with on that level. And this is like a different life for me. And I love it. My Survivor world is amazing. You guys are fantastic. Blake, thank you so much for being so like nice to me.
No, it's funny because Karishma, I work in casting. I don't know if you know that layer, but as someone that works in casting, I try to put a Karishma on every season of every show I'm on. And I enjoy your level of brain and heart and soul on my favorite shows. And I would say Q is more like you than you think. And as much love as I can say that,
that's fantastic. I adore him.
Q, and Angelina are my like lambs that I'm like, those are mine, and I will fight for them any day of my life.
Yeah, if I ever get to play again, I don't think I will, but if I do, I want to be unpredictable. I want to do things that nobody would expect from me.
No. I hope, and this is my hope, because I do know your cast quite well, especially the people who made it pretty far. Yeah. Somebody from Island of the Idols needs to play again.
They won't. Because
Island of the Idols does have good players and does have a good cast, and people just overlook that because of the nastiness.
Phil, you're never going to see anybody from Island of the Idols.
We need Lauren Ashley Beck to get big enough that Jeff forgets she was on Island of the Idols, and he puts her on an all newbie season, and there she is.
It sucks. It's not right. But the reality is that production, CBS, Jeff, everybody involved doesn't want anybody to remember 39 existed. And by putting a 39 player on any returning season, it's a reminder of its existence. And so they're never going to do it because it goes against everything that they want. I'd have zero expectations of a single person on 39 ever making it. And that's just, it's sad to say, but it's the truth. It is the truth. Mm-hmm.
It is the truth, but we're going to keep putting you guys on our podcast and stuff because screw it. Elaine was on with Tegwith last season. You're here now. You know, I'm going to get Lauren on at some point. I promise it's going to happen.
Elaine's also a bestie. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Had Janet on before. I've had Tommy on. Hoping to have Tommy on this season at some point. That would be amazing.
Jamal. Like, he's so
elegant. I love Jamal. I haven't had Jamal. I actually haven't talked to Jamal in a while. We had Jamal on a lot right after.
He went to the watch party in Boston last night. So get him on because he is so eloquent. The way he expresses what his thoughts are, it's like he's a get.
We had him on for like 3 podcasts, I think. I always love talking to Jamal. Jamal's great. And then, Janet Carbon, always. So one day, Nora, Dean, I think I've literally had like 8 people from your cast on this podcast. And it's a shame that we'll never see anybody else. I know. Missy. Had Missy on.
Oh, really? God bless you.
I had Missy on. Yeah, way back in the day. So anyway, thank you all so much for listening to this episode. Karishma, thank you for joining. Always a pleasure to have you on. Like this video, subscribe to the channel, patreon.com/thespecialist. Go ahead and become a patron. We're finishing up Worlds Apart for Every Season Matters. And we're getting a second chance where you can hear me be really cranky for the first episode, but then the second and third episode are great. They're great. It's the first one I'm cranky. But anyway, that's that. So like this video, go check out the recap if you haven't yet. And I will be live on Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern time with Stephen Fishback for predictions and power rankings. So there you go. That's it. Bye, everybody.
Bye, y'all.
Sponsored by Mood.